Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. And by kid, I mean Kit Laser.
There it is.
Long story. Don't fucking worry about it. Just call me when I tell you to call me.
That's his name, damn it.
Next week, my name might be Big Daddy.
Release Kit Laser's birth certificate.
Check the emails. We're talking about Lost, baby. You're big fans. We're big fans. We're here watching it. You're listening. Aww, this is great.
You guys are big fans now?
I think so. Episode 4, that's deep enough in to call myself a fan. I'm pretty much an old hand at this now.
You've made it 4/25 through the first season.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like, you know, you're halfway through Nirvana's Nevermind, and you go ahead and buy the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And everybody at school is like, what's your three favorite songs?
What's your three favorite Lost episodes?
Yeah, 1, 2, and 4.
Exactly.
It's actually probably 1, 2, and 3. But so what we're going to do, if you're new to the show, we're going to talk about episode 4, Walkabout, in general, our overall thoughts on the episode. Then we're going to do a scene by scene, play by play recap with some shenanigans, of course. And then we've got 4 segments to kind of wrap things up. We're going to start with Beach Please, where Steve's going to go through some like trivia, behind the scenes info that he may or may not know about this specific episode.
And I've got some fun news for you this week. I discovered how to listen to Lost DVD commentaries online. So I listened to the DVD commentary for this episode to get some good hot Beach Please goth.
So your boy did it.
Your boy did it. He done did it.
And then we'll talk about our Mile High Club moments, our top 3 favorite moments of the episode. And then Passenger Princess, which is our favorite performance of the episode. And we're going to wrap it all up in a nice little bow with a segment called Lost and Found, where we're keeping track of all of the mysteries as they're unfolding and which ones have been solved, which ones are ongoing. So by the end of this long journey, we'll know exactly what was answered and what wasn't. Mm-hmm. For good and all.
For good and all.
The conversation all online can stop.
Yeah.
We'll know exactly.
Yeah, if anyone gives you any guff about Lost mysteries, send them our way.
I get guff.
Yeah. You get guff?
Oh, yeah.
It's rough. You get guff?
Yeah.
You got guff?
Yeah, some rough guff.
Rough guff?
I think so.
Rough guff got?
I love it.
I was just looking straight at Vinny like,
yeah.
You going to hop in on this?
You going to hop in?
You going to guess and? No.
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 And yeah, that's it. So guys, I got to tell you, I'm enjoying this Lost journey. It is difficult for me not to just... And it's funny because I told you about the TikTok last week, right? And so most people had already seen Lost and they're like, oh my God, it's been 20 years. I feel so old. Have fun or you're going to hate yourself at the end. Da, 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 da. But there was like a few dozen people that were like, you know what? This is my sign. This is my calling to finally also watch Lost, right? Mm. And I hope those people had turned into the pod. I think the problem was there's a marketing issue with this podcast because Lost is addictive, you know?
Yeah.
Much like Charlie's heroin. It's kind of once you pop, you can't stop. Mm-hmm. There's heroin, there's Pringles, there's Lost.
You need nummies.
And so a lot of those people have checked back in with me on TikTok and said, hey, halfway through season four already. Holy shit, I got to tell you. And I'm like, whoa, you're going too fast.
All right, Jack, calm down. Come down in those comments.
I'm a real big fan of your TikTok. Thought I'd follow along.
Yeah.
I don't want to read anything about dead people.
I'm just like, wow, I can't talk to you anymore. You know, I'm only on episode four. You're on season four. People have been going hard.
Mm-hmm. Binging. I get it.
I get it. It's a bingeable show.
So we're going to go slightly faster, double speed, as soon as our Mission Impossible Mondays segment is over. That's the plan. Okay. Lost episode four, Walkabout. Madison, how you feeling? Let's check in. It's episode four. What's up?
You know, we're doing good. You know, there hasn't been an episode that I've been like, this is awful. So we're on a steady incline, and I really did enjoy, you know, the first two episodes. I think those have been the strongest of the four. But again, like, I haven't really seen an episode that I'm dissatisfied with.
Sure.
So, but for this episode, I am happy with it. I did enjoy kind of diving into John Locke, character's backstory and kind of getting to see him not on the beach, which was really cool. But yeah, I really like this episode.
If you had to choose three words.
The three words.
We haven't been doing it the past couple episodes, so I haven't been preparing.
Just first words that come to mind.
Toes.
Okay. I'm a man.
Weird man in a suit. That's not one word, but.
If you hyphenate it.
Bore.
Okay.
Bore.
There you go.
Bore on the floor. It's a succession
bore
joke.
Bore on the floor.
You guys don't get it because you're not cultured. Steve.
So episode four of season one, Walkabout, Lost. I think I've mentioned that this was the episode in my initial screening of Lost forever ago. This was the episode that kind of cemented me as like, I'm all in on the show. Like, I'd already like, oh, episodes one and two were great. Episode three was fine. But when this episode ends, I was like, oh my gosh, I fully understand the potential of what this show can be. I get it now. 100%. I'm all in. I'm such a huge fan of John Locke, the character, and this episode does a really great way of showing not only who he is, but it's so fascinating. So like last episode, Tabula Rasa kind of showed this is what the show is going to be doing with flashbacks. We're going to be learning a little bit more about these characters. We're going to be adding more context to who they are. This episode took that idea and was like, this is what we can do if we crank that idea to 11. Not only are you going to learn things that you wouldn't expect to learn about the characters, but also we can do this in a way that will shock you and surprise you. And I think the writing up to this episode is so great because the whole entire, all three episodes we've seen before this, they've shown like little bits and pieces like, oh, here's a wheelchair in the background. Whose wheelchair is that for? There's been shots of John Locke just enjoying life where people are like kind of freaking out. What's that guy's deal? He's so mysterious. Mm. And this episode, it reveals like, oh, he has a good reason for feeling the way he is. It recontextualizes the plane crash from this horrible, awful event. And from this guy's point of view, it's a tragic, but magical rebirth to the person he thinks he's supposed to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so awesome. And going into this episode, I was a little worried about rewatching it because I haven't watched it in so many years, like over 10 years, because I haven't rewatched Lost since the last season came out. And so going in, I remember thinking, okay, I hold this episode in such high esteem. Does it live up to my expectations? Does it hold up? And the first half of the episode, I'm like, oh man, this is good, but it's not as amazing as I thought it was. But then the last 3 minutes happen, and I'm like, fuck, there it is. That the last 3 minutes of the episode is like chef's kiss, gold. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love this episode a lot.
I agree. I think this is the kind of episode that, because again, for people that don't know, Steve's rewatching this for the third or fourth time, and Madison and I have never seen the show. I think it would be stronger on a rewatch, because there are certain things in this episode that seemed off and were kind of not losing me, but I was kind of like narrowing my eyes. Mm-hmm. Where after the last 3 minutes of the episode, I was like, oh, that's why he was laying there staring at his foot, and the camera was focused on it for so long, like the scene from Kill Bill when Beatrix Kiddo is trying to wiggle her toe. Okay, because I thought maybe we had a Quentin Tarantino guest direction spot or something, and he was like, here's what we should do.
I love Terry O'Quinn's feet. Let's get in them digits.
Because, you know what I mean? But it's just so strange that he's so put off by, like, being knocked over by the boar. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on right now? Mm-hmm. But then they had this whole through line of him, like, kind of being impotent in general in life and just really trying to talk himself up and believe in himself. And that moment is just kind of him being like, am I? Do I suck? Am I not going to be able to do so? Are they all right that I can't do this? You know what I mean? He's just having like a flashback to not being able to. Anyway, it's recontextualized it. So like on a rewatch, like I never noticed the wheelchair in the background this episode.
You know, is that what you were referring to last episode? Okay.
Yeah, because they're like last episode, specifically Tabula Rasa, there's someone's using the wheelchair to like carry firewood around.
Mm. They do it in this one too.
Yeah. And then I think at one point when the chaos of the first episode there, I think either John Locke or Jack runs past the wheelchair in the foreground. But then, yeah, and all the small things that they show John Locke doing leading up to this episode where he just seems off compared to everyone
he's just
else.
Like, this is great. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, no, I can walk. And they're like, okay. Mm-hmm. He's like, never mind. Long story.
Yeah. And I just love the idea of like the whole time up until this episode, every time they show John Locke, you're like, oh, that guy knows something. He's up to something. Oh, he's got all these knives in this episode. Wow, this guy knows his shit. And then the flashbacks are like, no, he's pretty impotent. Like in his pre-island life, like he doesn't have a great story. He's kind of depressing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Very much so. And there's more mysteries to his character, though. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I missed something.
No, I think so.
So let's dive right in. Okay. It's all about John Locke. That's where the episode opens. Vincent's barking his head off. As soon as he gets back in the crew, he's got to be an asshole dog. You know, everybody's trying to sleep, buddy.
We just killed the marshal. And now we got another alarm clock waking us up.
Oh, come on. God. Michael's like, shut that dog up. And it gets everybody looking at the wreckage, the fuselage, which I'm taking offense at the fact that everybody just acts like they know the word fuselage.
I never heard that word before.
You've never heard fuselage before?
Like, no. I've heard it, but I wouldn't be like.
What is that?
It's the thing without the wings or the tail or the cockpit. It's the fuselage.
It's the tube part of a plane.
It's the cabin.
Fuck off. That's so, what?
Yeah, next time you're in a plane, just realize you're chilling in the fuselage. You should say that.
You should like
fuselage.
Try to drop that.
Wait, say it again.
Fuselage.
Fuselage. The dictionary defines it as the main body of an aircraft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is true.
The heart of the plane. I feel
like just flag down a flight attendant and be like, hey, how many bathrooms are in the fuselage? And see what she, you know. She's gonna be like.
I do have a flight attendant friend. Maybe I'll fuck with her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, as a flight, do you guys hang out in the fuselage mostly? Would you say?
She's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, try to like trick her.
I will.
Just say the fuselage.
You know, the fuselage.
But have it over text so you can just type it over and over.
We can shame her online.
I call her right now. I'm like, hey.
Ooh, on air?
On air.
We used to do that.
Nah, I won't do that.
We used to.
Bluetooth into the mixer.
No, I know you used to do it because you did it to me.
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Did I tell you about that?
No.
I was drunk when you called me?
No.
I was drunk on the show.
You're like, hey. Was it like favorite movie of the year or something?
No, you asked me.
Oscar picks.
It was like Oscar predictions. And yeah, I think I forget. I think I said Promising Young Woman or something like that.
I was insanely drunk.
You're like happy streaming, happy and then a catchphrase was born.
Yeah. TM trademarked.
I forgot we called you. That's funny.
But to your point, Chris, I think that's right. I think the average layman, if they were shipwrecked on a beach and there was a giant fuselage on the beach, they would say, hey, there's a lot of bodies in the plane still.
Oh, I think Jack said it. Here's my canon. Jack said it early on, and everyone else is like, yeah, the fuselage.
Yeah. Yeah. Did Jack say it? Oh, then yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're obsessed with Jack.
They are.
They stan Jack so much.
Which part of me is like, maybe the writers are like building up his downfall because people are building so much into Jack.
Well, he seems uncomfortable with it as a character.
Yeah.
Like he's got like, I'm not as cool as you think. And especially in his conversation with Rose's character.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, the writers originally planned on him dying in the pilot. Which I still think would have been the more interesting choice. No offense to Mr. Shepherd.
And I think that's why, like, all three episodes, it's been, hey, we're doing a thing. And Kate's like, I'll go. Because Kate was supposed to be the main leader at first, after the Jack character was going to die.
Yeah, I think that's more interesting. I love me some Kate. Yeah. But yeah, there's something in the fuselage. It's rummaging around, and Jack thinks it's Sawyer, and Sawyer's like, "I'm here, I'm right here, fucker." Next idea, idiot.
Hey, dildo, I'm right behind you.
And what's up, vibrator? I'm right here, man.
And Jack's got this like tiny flashlight, and Sawyer's got this giant one. I just thought that was funny.
Symbolism.
He's got like a little, he's got like the doctor flashlight.
It's a metaphor.
Metaphor.
And then Sawyer's
how big
like,
"Their brains are."
I'm gonna shed some light on this thing. And flashes his flashlight on it, and then they notice it's like a scary monster looking thing, and they're like, run, run. It's like, it reminded me of Sandlot, where like all the kids are like sneaking up.
It's the beast. Ah.
Turns out it's just a pack of boar, and John Locke loves boars because he seems so happy about it. Like,
yeah,
like,
everyone's running away, and they cut to John Locke, and he's like licking his lips, like
he said,
I love boar.
Hurley say, "Ah, oh, crud! Now what?"
Yeah, ah, oh, crud! Now what?
That was so funny.
Network TV, but I'm upset.
But Hurley's always there to say exactly what a normal person would say. Oh, come on! It's not bad enough that the jungle's haunted.
Ah, oh, right. Crud! There was boar in the fuselage. Shit!
Damn it!
That's where the BODYSs are.
By the way, a listener wrote in with trying to collect all of our band name ideas.
Oh yeah.
I've got like five from this episode alone.
Oh
yeah.
I want to add another one just now.
You got to spit them out.
Boar in the Fuselage? Are you kidding me?
Boar in the Fuselage. It's a fire band name. Add it to the Google Doc.
Holy, like you could. It's like one of those emo bands, though, for sure.
Boar in the Fuselage.
Tonight will be the night that
I. Oh, I thought Boar in the Fuselage would be like a metal band.
No. It's like a
Boar in the Fuselage.
Crud. And so
like new metal. Like
yes. Yeah.
And I guess Charlie got hurt during the boar escapade. When did Charlie get hurt? Because he's like getting kind of patched up.
Oh,
he's got
on his side.
They show a quick shot of him falling over. And it's implied that the boar kind of knocked him down.
Oh.
We all love everybody. And then Jack's like,
I guess so. I don't know if I've talked to you guys specifically. I know I was talking about this on the fireside chat we just did, but in my headcanon, every time I see a new character in the background or on the beach sometime, I can only picture them kind of like existing and then looking over and going, is that the basis from Drive Shaft?
Yeah.
So maybe the boars were like, oh my God, it's Charlie from Drive Shaft.
They went to go get their
That's
a Sharpie.
They got him, yeah.
Right.
Guys, I gored him. I gored him with my horn.
This is his blood right here.
It's his blood. Oh my God. I'm never washing it.
Never.
I'm never washing
this tusk.
We saw a new lady in the background today. She had like a crop top on. I was like, who's that? She was like helping gather wood. I guess that's going to happen a lot. So you're going to yellow jacket it. But Jack's like, we got to get rid of the bodies, right? And which I would have thought somebody would have thought of by now. There's got to be a stankin' after 4 days.
I mean, okay, so it is 4 days. I was going to ask how long we think they've been out there.
It's been 4 days.
Jack says 4 days at some point. Is every episode a day?
No.
Okay.
No.
Just early
on when we're kind of like getting acclimated to the island, I think is the most like sequential a day is. But as the season progresses, I think there's like stretches of a couple days.
Okay.
And then this interaction made me chuckle because Kate's like, oh, they're people. And it's the first time we've seen Jack kind of like this episode, he's worn out. And he's like, I know, Kate. Like, he's just like kind of over it. I don't know. It was pretty like rude. It was funny. I chuckled.
Yeah. Like, I think he's like, yeah, I know, but also.
I know they're people. They're people, you think? Is that, you know, that's the vibe I got from Jack.
Yeah. I completely agree with Jack on this one because everyone's like, I get where people are coming from. Like, that's, you know, that's not their wish. It's like, okay, cool. Their wishes went out the window when the plane crashed and we can't bury them anywhere. Yeah. And there's boars in here and it's stanking and there's going to be disease and shit.
Well, he makes the point of like, you know, they're dead and we're alive, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think in my notes I forget who came over and said there's no more food, but I was like, eat the people. Cannibalism!
You've been watching too much Yellow Jackets.
I have.
Yeah, we got plenty of food.
Do you think since they're basically in like a hot box, like slow roast oven throughout the day, that it smells quite nice? Maybe like a Jackie bonfire from Yellow Jackets did?
The fuchsia... What is it?
Fuselage.
Fuselage.
Malamute.
My mom's a speech pathologist. I should know how to speak. The fuselage microwave.
Ooh,
is that what you're talking
about?
Yeah,
I like
that's a good band name too.
Yeah.
A lot of fuselage good band names because I wrote down Fuselage in the Sun was my first band name idea.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the vibe.
It's just like a Weezer.
It's kind of a Coldplay, I would think, probably.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but you know, Kate and Jack are kind of disagreeing.
And Saeed's mad too.
Yeah, but I also kind of agree with Jack.
Oh, he's 100% right. It's the practical outlook, you know. And Saeed's worried about their religion, and he's like, "Well, we can't bury them because the animals are just going to dig them up and eat them. That doesn't solve anything." He's 100% correct. Mm-hmm. We don't have time to sort out everybody's god.
And what if those people wanted to be cremated?
Ooh.
Exactly.
I'm just saying.
What if they wanted to be eaten by boar? That was in their will. We don't know.
Well, if that was in their will, then yeah, like, here, little piggies.
Hmm?
They could have ended up in the water, and you wouldn't have been able to do anything about that.
Yep.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But real quick, when they were fixing up Charlie, was that that actor's Lord of the Rings tattoo?
I didn't see it.
I wasn't paying attention to that.
Because I know that the actors that starred in Lord of the Rings all got elvish...
Yeah.
Tattoos. I think that's what it was. On
did
his
it
arm.
Look like cursive with dots?
Yes, it did.
It's probably Elvish. Okay. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't hide it at all because I think it showed up again.
Melon. Okay, so Charlie's tattoo.
Melon?
Melons. Charlie's tattoo is a phrase. It's not the Lord of the Rings tattoo, but it's a phrase that says, "Living is easy with eyes closed. Misunderstanding all you see."
Talking about
Heidi, the dog?
Blind Heidi. Yes.
It looks like it's written in what's that Avatar font?
Papyrus?
Papyrus. It looks like it's written in papyrus.
I know what you did. I know what you did. And then after this point, he says, "All right, everybody, tomorrow we're going to gather a bunch of wood. We're going to burn all these bodies, is how we're going to do it. And I want to do it at night." And Charlie, I think, comments, "If he's in such a hurry, why doesn't he burn him during the day?" And he's hoping somebody will see it. So he wants to create like a signal fire.
Yeah.
That's what they call two birds, mm-hmm. one stone.
One fire.
One fuselage.
And then we cut to Saeed and Kate are talking. He still doesn't agree with Jack's plan, and he's making something instead of collecting wood. She's like, "Oh, you don't want to collect wood? What are you doing?" And he's like, "Legos. Because fuck that wood collecting job." Mm-hmm. He's trying to make
my talents can be served better elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm almost done with this thing.
Stupid, sexy Saeed.
He's trying to make an antenna to better get that French lady's signal, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he thinks there's a power source that they could probably take advantage of and probably use for their own transceiver.
Also, there's a French woman somewhere.
I'm just waiting for a big, strong man to come and save me. Oh, lady.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. I am not picky.
And Walt wants to go see Mr. Locke, but Michael says no, even after that great thing Locke did for him. He's still being kind of a dick. I get it, though. You got to be protective of your kid.
Yeah.
At least Mr. Locke talks to
me. Yeah, you suck.
What am I doing right now, boy?
Talking trash.
You. I only talk to you and son.
I just want to go talk to Mr. Locke and read my Spanish comic books.
I'm going through a phase now where I hang out with dudes and play backgammon.
Yeah, I'm super good at backgammon. And then Hurley is fighting with Sawyer, and Boone, he's over there trying to break it up. He's like, "Knock it off. Stop."
He's spraying him with water.
And then Sawyer says something I haven't heard in a long time. He calls Boone a metro. Stay out of this, metro. Which I believe is in reference to metrosexual.
Yes.
Which is a word that lived and died between 2002 and 2007.
Yes.
Okay, I interpreted that completely different.
I did.
Like City Boy?
Yeah.
You're 100%. I think you're 100% right, Chris.
My mom used to call me a metrosexual.
My mind is so removed from that word. All I can think of is like, bus.
Yeah.
Bus. Why is he calling Boone a bus?
So metrosexual was a term, Madison, that was like somebody who was overly concerned with their appearance and feminine, but was not bisexual or homosexual or anything like that.
I see.
My mom was wrong about that.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's what he was calling Boone.
Interesting.
What a time.
But they're fighting because Sawyer has peanuts and Hurley wants dim nuts.
Yep. And again, Hurley is the audience surrogate.
Yeah, want them
we
nuts.
We also want them nuts.
Exactly.
Yeah, we do.
That Sawyer has.
And they're like, hey, you just stupid, eat all the other food, Sawyer. Hurley. And he's like, we ate all the food. And everybody starts. I love how all the like background actors in that scene. Well, it's really like.
Did he say we're out of food? Is that what he said?
It's really understated.
Are we out of food?
Like somebody's just like, oh no, dying.
Oh no.
Oh no.
We're out of food.
The Australian lady.
No.
No.
Nar's
carn.
Nar's carn.
And so, yeah. So, how are we going to get sustenance? And then Locke throws a knife into the chair right next to Sawyer.
We hunt it.
Of those boars out there were about 150 pounds. That means somewhere out there is a mother, a 250 pound rat with scimitar like tusks and a surly disposition. We got to flank one of the piglets. Dude, this is one of the best moments of my fucking life.
That was so good.
If that was a great moment for you, imagine how Locke had to have felt. Like, I just, okay, A, nailed the knife throw.
That's the first time I've thrown a knife.
Didn't actually hurt anybody. Went great.
Holy shit.
Hopefully I remember all the facts I remember from my Nat Geo watching about razorback pigs.
Yes. It's watched Planet Earth so many times, I don't blame him. I did too.
I did too. Planet Earth's amazing.
And John Locke throws a knife.
I love how Jack is like, well, Mr. Locke, you're either a very good shot or a very poor one.
Trying to kill Sawyer.
Yeah.
And then he's got a whole case full of knives. And everybody's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Just a nerd who was going on a Aboriginal walkabout. Mm-hmm. And then we get our first flashback.
Meanwhile, back at the place John Locke works at.
It's Colonel Locke. And this is so weird. I don't even think I understand after watching the entire thing. He's called Colonel Locke. He seems to have, like, at first I was like, is he a fucking secret agent?
That's what I thought.
He's getting a call and he's like, we are go. Is this confidential line? All that stuff, right? But then he's at this office job with fucking TPS reports, which I didn't think were a real thing. I thought that was just something made up for the movie Office Space. But TPS reports are apparently a real office thing. Mm. And then all of a sudden, as the episode progresses, you're like, he's not a real colonel because the boss, Randy, fucking Randy, looked him up. He's never been in the armed forces. Why do people call you colonel? I'm a dick to you for no reason.
Yeah. Just busting his balls, being an asshole.
So it's interesting. Like, is he completely like a delusional dork that's just like, call me colonel? And they're like, why? And he's like, cuz.
That's basically what it is.
I go to KFC a lot.
Mm-hmm. He loves KFC. He plays this little army game with his buddy on his lunch breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave him alone. He's just playing. Which is weird. It's like Risk looking, but then it's just actual like little green army toys.
Yeah.
They just made that game up.
I guess.
Because that's not a real board game.
But I do love how they kind of frame it because, you know, you got this like close up and he's like got the phone call like, hello, Colonel. Oh, rendezvous at 1300 hours. And, mm-hmm. and yeah, it makes you think.
That was just, the rendezvous was his work buddy.
Yeah.
He calls him Colonel because of the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
and he asks if
he's just me. He's just a nerd.
Yeah. He's 100% a nerd. And I think he asked,
Kit Laser.
Is this a secure channel? He looked around to make sure like, oh, am I allowed to take a personal call right now?
Yeah,
I am.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. The rendezvous was the lunch break game sesh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that Randy, his boss, I assume.
Yeah.
You talked about the word metrosexual living and dying between 2002 and 2007. Mm-hmm. I think Randy's whole look, his hair and whatever he's his using attitude. As facial hair also lived and died between the years of 2002, 2007.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that dude shouldn't be giving anybody any shit with that going on.
No, because what did he have? He had like the mustache with the
soul
like,
patch.
Yeah, and then his hair was kind of like, not bowl cutty, but I don't know.
You know what Randy's last name is?
I want to say, no, I don't know.
Colonel.
Nations.
Ew.
The character's name is Randy Nations.
Randy Nations.
But yeah, this is Randy's look. He's got like a gross looking mop top like thing, and then he's got like a Van Dyke
He's got long sideburns.
It's giving Limp Bizkit. It's giving Woodstock 99.
Woodstock 99. Mm-hmm. What a year.
What yeah. a year.
Randy, sit down.
Yeah, that doofus should not be giving anybody any guff, let alone a poor dude just in a wheelchair.
Guy literally not bothering you at all,
he's
dude.
He's not bothering anybody. He's just playing his little game with his friend.
Like, there's no chance I don't quit that job immediately if somebody talks to me on my lunch break at all.
He has a tiny flashlight.
He does.
Oh, he definitely has tiny flashlight.
Very tiny flashlight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't even shine a light on it.
He's not shedding light on shit.
No.
But back in the present day, Jack and Kate are chatting about the boar hunting. And he's like, he gives a nice Joseph Conrad reference. He's like, why are you always hiking into the heart of darkness every time somebody wants to go out there? Why is that always you? She's like, I like to party. And
I was supposed to be the main character.
But also she wants to plant Saeed's antenna. And that's not a euphemism. That's an actual plot. And
sexy Saeed.
Was that like a secret thing? Like, did Saeed not want other people to
know? For some reason, they didn't discuss it with Fearless Leader Jack. But I mean.
Well, I think Saeed specifically didn't want to discuss it with Fearless Leader Jack because he didn't want to like.
He's mad at him about the burning of the bodies.
He's mad at him. And he didn't want to be like, why aren't you building the bonfire? I'm doing something better.
Yeah.
I'm actually being proactive.
This is a 10,000 piece.
These hands don't do manual labor, okay? They play with electronics.
I tinker.
I'm a tinkerer, which I get.
Taylor Soldier Spy. And then they're talking about Locke. Like anyone who packs a suitcase full of knives is a little sus, right? We find out also she's a vegetarian. So,
I missed that.
She's not even going to eat the bar. Eating a bar.
Kate's a vegetarian?
She says that something about when they're talking about the boar. She's like, well, I'm a vegetarian, so.
I completely missed that.
Yeah, so she's not going on the mission for the boar because she's a vegetarian. She's doing it for this specific antenna reason.
She's a vegetarian criminal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought Jack was overtly rude to Kate in this because Kate kind of does a little flirty flirt with him where she's like, oh, if I didn't know any better, I thought you were worried about me, Jack. Just like, well, if I didn't know any better, I think you don't like being in one place long, Kate.
Yeah, I think you got issues. You ever get a therapist? He's grumpy. He's weary of everybody relying on him all the time. And I think this is because he had to murder a man last week.
Well, last night, probably.
Yeah.
If this is the
same night. Everybody's all happy again and shit. And he's like, hello. You guys know what I had to do?
Yeah, everyone's all mad at Jack for like, why don't you respect the bodies? I had to kill a man.
Yeah, I had to slit his jugular.
And then the dog still kept me up all night. I haven't had good sleep. Leave me alone.
I had to pinch off his aorta and tie it in a boat. I don't know what doctors do. Yeah. Had to give it the old Wingardium knot.
He had to pull a Dr. Kevorkian.
Mm-hmm. I had to squeeze the lymph nodes like two grapes. That kills him instantly. I don't know. Does it?
Is Dr. Kevorkian too dated to reference Madison?
I'm sorry.
Do you know about Mr. Kevorkian?
No.
I took his doctorate away.
Oh, you did? Good.
He is a doctor from the 90s?
Yeah.
That was legendary. For euthanizing dozens of patients, and he got caught for that, and it was like
he was pro euthanasia, and people were mad at him for that, and which I thought was weird because why would anyone be against the youth in Asia?
I was gonna make the same joke. I was gonna say, what's wrong with these kids? Didn't do anything. Then we cut to a little bit of Michael and Walt. And he hits Walt with the I said so. Classic parenting mistake, but it's hard not to pull out, you know? Mm-hmm. Why? Because I said so. That's why.
Yeah.
So he's not wrong. And then Michael asks Son if she can watch Walt while he's gone. But again, I do think that you guys are correct that I think it was Madison that said that Son and Jen most likely speak English and they're just kind of playing it coy.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the case. But she's still keeping that facade up. And, Fuselage Facade is another good band name.
Oh, there we go.
Fuck!
You can't
say
Fuselage.
The F word. Or home. Does it start with the F?
Yes. Yeah,
it starts with F. Okay.
Is that what, like a PH? I think Fuselage Malamute should be your, like, pre-recording test. Fuselage Malamute.
Fuselage Malamute.
Yes, you nailed it. But this is a really cute scene because remember, Michael saw her naked. They've had some like cute-ish tension a couple of times already in the four episodes that we've seen. So he goes straight to her, but he's kind of like, I don't know. I was reading like a little bit of like boyish nervousness in his, but also like,
well, the way
hilarious he, attempt to communicate.
The way he physically communicates the word hunt makes me laugh so hard. Like, I'm going on a hunt.
With my fists. He's not wrong.
Yeah.
And then he like taps Walt's head with my son
my
here.
My boy.
You got it though? But then when he walks away, she says something in Korean to Walt and he's like, yeah, whatever. I only speak Spanish and English and I can only read Spanish in pictures. and we cut to Claire and Jack.
Claire wants Jack to kind of lead the memorial service, lead a memorial service before they light the fuselage on fire.
Yeah.
To like memorialize the people who died and whose bodies are still in there. And she has found like wedding plans for a couple, Steve and Kristen, who are sitting
don't know their last her. Names.
No, doesn't know their last name, but they were very much in love. And she's asking Jack because Jack has like a leadership role amongst the group, and Jack's like,
it's not my thing.
Nah, fam.
No.
Honoring people is not really my thing.
But if you were honoring me, that'd be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can we have like a, we could take all this wood instead of burning the fuselage, we could build a memorial to me. Yeah. Just saying.
I just thought maybe.
With a huge flashlight.
Who wants to step up and maybe say a couple of nice things about me?
I'm feeling pretty down. So I'm sorry, I stuttered and stumbled so much at the beginning of the scene because I had the note, what is she wearing? And I was so confused because I was thinking, that's none of my fucking business. You know what I mean? Like, the woman can wear whatever she wants, but I was talking about that pendant that she has.
Oh,
has that been discussed? Is it some kind of Aboriginal thing maybe? Or cause it's like, it was very prominent in this scene. It's like a red, like Yellow Jackets like figure and Lost being the way that it is. I was wondering if it had any meaning of any kind. And just wanted to shout that out. She's wearing a very interesting
necklace.
I'm looking
it up cause I'm not entirely sure.
Well, you don't want to, don't spoil yourself if it is.
Well, no,
thing.
I'm just looking at the photo of it. Is that what it was?
Yeah,
yes, like
a,
that's it.
A wooden symbol on a black string.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nothing, Steve. It's nothing.
I Chinese,
can neither confirm nor deny.
This is a photo on Google and it says it's the Chinese symbol for love.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah. It could be wrong. I don't know what source this is, but
I love love.
Yeah,
we love love.
I mean, in the mid 2000s, it was popular for people to get random Chinese symbols on their shoulders, and be like, it's the symbol for love and
it
prosperity.
Be.
And
it wasn't.
It's like dick butt.
Yeah, dick butt.
Booty cheeks.
Booty cheeks. Much like the traffic.
Yes.
So yeah, he turns down the invitation to lead the memorial and she says, maybe I'll do it. Boone sees, who I kept calling, I'm not proud of it. The dead husband lady. I find out her name's Rose at the end of this.
Yes.
And then he runs by Shane.
Technically, I think we've known Rose's name since
probably.
The first episode.
I think we have.
There's a lot
but
going
she,
on.
She was only in the first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. She has that flashback with Jack on the plane. I think she
23A
introduces that was his herself. Seat. Yeah.
And he talks to Shannon. She's like doing a crossword, calls him Captain America just because he cares about another person.
But not enough to actually do anything.
No, that's fair. And then the ocean's not going to take your gold card, Shannon, because she's like, there's plenty of fish over there. I'm on that app all the time. It's easy for me to use because she's confident she can get fish out of the
ocean.
They've
got Uber Eats here.
Yeah. Da. And then Locke is talking about, we cut to Locke talking about how boars dig because they're on the hunt. And how they rub their tusks on wood.
They rooted a tree.
Yeah.
They're close by.
That means they're close.
On the case.
I've watched this documentary a bunch of times. Shannon finds Charlie doing heroin, but doesn't notice that he's doing heroin. And asks him if he'd like to take a walk. And he's like, I absolutely would.
With you? Let's go.
Let's do it.
Do you know anything about fishing? He's like, I'm a fishing fiend. I'm from England.
England. It's an island.
That made me chuckle.
I love when she's like, can I ask you something? Is you know, I knew this was going to happen. Yes, I am the bass guitarist of Drive. Can you fish?
We all, everybody.
We are. I fish, everybody.
And then I thought this was so funny. Steve made it much more poignant. But the guy using the wheelchair as a wheelbarrow. He's got like 7 sticks in there. It's like, can we, somebody fucking yell at that guy. What are you doing, man?
I feel like it's more trouble to push a wheelchair through sand than carry the six sticks in your hand.
Are you tuckered out, buddy? Why don't you sit in that thing? You're not helping. You're just trying to look busy so you get some of this board.
He dumps the sticks out of the chair. Like, oh, long day, right, guys?
He takes them out one at a time off the wheelchair.
He's doing the bare minimum to get a hunk of boar.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
And then Boone asks Jack, and I really hated this scene. And maybe it's for a purpose. But yeah, Boone goes and asks Jack about the dead. And this is right after Claire asked him to run the memorial. And he's already spearheading burning all the dead bodies. And he had to murder the marshal the night before. He saved at least three of them medically. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, hey, Jack. Boone's like, remember dead husband lady? And he's like, I don't think that's her name. But yeah, sure, go on. Well, you talk to her. She seems sad. And he's like, why? Why me? Well, you saved her life, you know? And in some cultures, that means you're responsible for her now, which is true. And I guess that's what he was saying.
I don't want to do it. I know, like, you and I met because you were trying to save her and I got you all them pens.
Yeah.
Also, I need some of them back.
This is 20 years before anybody would say this way, but you're giving main character energy. And I feel like you should talk to her.
Yeah.
So then
she's all the way over there. And I don't want to walk over there.
Also, this is five. Here's the real reason, Jack. Can I level with you? This is seven or eight years after the smash hit Titanic. Her name's Rose. Your name's Jack. I really feel like you guys should link up.
Yeah, that's true.
I made that connection as well. And I was like, that's what a coincidence.
I don't know that it is. Maybe.
I don't know if it was on purpose, but it's funny.
There's a wreckage. I don't know. Oh. She had a husband. Rose had a fiance.
Chris, that was
the necklace.
Shit.
Is
the necklace.
The baby.
The heart
baby.
Of the ocean. Now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices. The path forward is not always clear. Like, you never know. Sometimes I used to sell cars for a living and I hated that job, but I made good money. I was able to buy a house. I was gone from my family all the time. I would podcast whenever I could. I didn't get to see many movies. I worked every Thursday night. It was terrible, but I was like, I got to do this. I got stuck in the middle class grind where I was like, hey, this is what's right for my family, me to be miserable. We feel like we're stuck. We don't know what to do. So whether you're dealing with decisions around your career, sometimes in a relationship, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything else. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. And like I said, I had to have a lot of practice, and it was talking through that stuff with someone else that helped me. And that's why you could find a therapist using BetterHelp that meshes with your values and the way that you see life in that perspective, and they can talk you through in a way that you find valuable and that you understand. So you can do it entirely online, get matched with a therapist like this that you enjoy, that you find value in. And if you find that it's not working, you can switch at any time. It's extremely easy to switch it. So just think about that. Think about how close you are to finding a therapist to better your entire life. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. Jack goes to talk to Rose, and in my notes, Rose and Jack. And he tries his best to, like, reach her. You know, hey, it's me from seat 23A. I told you everything was going to be fine. And she completely ignores him.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, well, let's just sit then. And then it cuts to Michael talking about how Walt is dealing much better than he is because they're on the hunt. Mm-hmm. And Kate and Michael start to bond a little bit, but then Locke's like, shh, another board score. A boar scored tree. A boar score.
And boar score and 2 years ago.
But then the boar charges them, and Locke, like, saves Kate, and he's like, sorry, Michael.
Well, like, he's trying to give them, like, hand signals, like he's in the military, like, you do a perimeter. But he's not actually whispering, this is an audio medium.
Yeah.
Flank east, I'm going to take south.
Yeah.
Kate, you go up the middle. And then Michael's like, what are you saying? And so the boar charges Michael. But yeah, Locke, you know, brings Kate out of the way. The boar gets Michael good.
Yeah, he gets gored. But the boar gored him. We were looking at the boar score, but then the boar gored Michael. Mm-hmm. And He's hurt bad. That's what Kate says. Ah, it's not good.
The boar score gave Gore guff.
Yeah.
Rough guff.
Yeah. Yes.
In the fuselage.
And Locke's just, thank you. You said that really well.
I know. Thank you.
And Locke's so bad. He's just laying there staring at his foot. And again, at this point, I don't know why. We get another flashback and it's Locke playing what looks like Risk, but with army action figures. Not action figures, but they're the little figurines, the green men.
Little plastic from
Toy Story.
You've got to move, Colonel.
Yeah. They're in the break room during lunch and fucking Randy comes in giving them shit. What are you doing, nerds? Enjoying your lunch break?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Shift leader Randy. Well, Locke's, the fuck out of here.
Locke's friend was like super excited because Locke's like, hey, buddy. What was his friend's name? I didn't write his friend's name. I don't know if he had a name.
I don't know.
But he's like, hey, guess what, buddy of mine? I'm doing it. I'm finally doing it. I'm going on the walkabout. The thing I've been talking about. He's like, wow, man, that's great. Have you told Helen yet?
Dream journeys of the Australian Outback.
One derives strength from the earth. I'm doing it. And then, yeah, Randy comes in and he's like, hey, you got a girlfriend? Ew.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, cooties.
What sucker did you con into being in a relationship with you? B, you can't go on a walkabout. You suck.
Well, yeah, he's thinking you can't even walk. Right now we know.
Yeah. But in the context of a scene that you don't know, that's what he's talking about. He's just kind of implying like, oh, you're a desk jockey nerd that like plays D&D on his breaks. You can't go on a walkabout. You're not a real man.
Norman Croucher.
Yeah.
What?
Norman Croucher.
Who?
He's a guy who climbed Mount Everest.
Double amputee. Had no legs. It was his destiny.
That's why.
And then, of course, Randy's like, well, you can't go on a walkabout. And we get John Locke's iconic, don't tell me what I can't do.
Don't tell me what I cannot do.
Mm-mm. Just don't tell me what I can't do.
So back in the present, after the boar charge, he snaps out of it and he says, I'm fine, Helen. He calls Kate Helen. And she's like, she takes the time to be like, that's not my name.
That's not my name.
It's a good song. And
what's the name of that band?
Ting Tings?
Ting Tings? Yeah.
I think so.
Nice throwback.
I'm going to get that boar. And she's like, you're definitely not. You can't do that. Don't tell me what I can't do.
Tell me what I can't do.
Just telling Randy that in my flashback.
No, but we have another toe wiggle.
We do.
A little toe wiggle. Like,
oh. You think he's like losing feeling, or that's like symbolism of how it's reminding him of how he used to be able to not do things?
I think it's reminding him.
I think it's he's scared to try to move just in case he can't do it anymore. Like he lost the ability. So he's like really worried, like, oh, did I fall and I can't do it anymore? Oh, good. I'm good.
He's worried he's just going to wake up still on the fine plane.
Yeah. So you guys in the moment, you guys don't have the reveal at this point yet. What do you think is happening when he's looking at his toe? Wiggling and laying there.
I thought he got hurt somehow in the fall at first. And then after a while, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't know what's going on.
I really didn't.
Is there something wrong with his shoe? I know that there was like, it was called walkabout. He was talking about all the things he could do. He brought up a disabled person climbing Mount Everest, right? And so I'm thinking something about him we don't know. Maybe he's got like a prosthetic leg or something, you know, that's what I'm at.
I was like, okay, I know this is a hint of some sorts, but I have nothing going on. I have no idea what it could be pointing to.
Madison's just thinking, nice shoe.
I just was like, toe.
Was
wiggle.
That a Marshall?
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
These are hiking boots?
Sure.
And then we cut to Hurley and Charlie are fishing.
Yay.
Not well.
This makes me so happy. Because I...
They got like a broken piece of fuselage there.
Yeah, yeah. Seeing Charlie and Hurley like spearfishing really...
It was nice. It was
Yeah,
nice.
We need more Charlie Hurley.
They were having such a good time.
They all, everybody. I love it.
Yeah.
Wait, did you do that on purpose?
What?
They all, everybody? Okay.
But like, yeah, Hurley's trying to spear the fish. And I love how Hurley gets like so mad. He's like slapping the water, but the spear's like, son of a bitch, motherfucker. And then Charlie goes, can I have a try? And he goes, yeah, sure. Knock yourself out. Like, he's like not bothered.
He's not actually mad, you know?
Yeah.
And he jumps all the way into the water.
But Charlie's trying to learn to impress Shannon.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to give her a fish, which is funny because, you know, you give Shannon a fish, she'll eat for a day.
But if you teach Shannon to fish,
that's right,
she'll eat forever.
That's right. Or at least until she dies.
But before you can teach Shannon how to fish, you have to also teach Charlie how to fish.
That's true.
That he can teach Shannon how to fish.
Yes. But Locke's not there to teach him because he's watched a lot of fishing shows. I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably played those little handheld games you could get, like bass fishing.
I remember those.
Yeah.
ones at the arcade where it's like you're holding a pole and you're actually...
have a reel.
They have a reel.
That's... We need somebody that... Probably Walt. He'd be a master.
Oh, yeah. Walt.
He's a bass master.
Yeah, he does.
I'm trying to think of, like, big video games that would have been out during that time. Like, big, like, survival games. Would Tomb Raider have been?
Tomb Raider? Yeah. It was from the 90s.
The PS1 ones, for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Probably Angelina Jolie's movies were out already.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure they were.
Far Cry?
They probably watched that on the plane.
Yeah. They're lucky.
Yeah.
God, I want to watch that again. So yeah, they're fishing, not well. We cut to Claire, who gives Saeed an envelope with his name on it. It's like, hey, I found this. And he really has to get a manicure. He's got some really long nails. Maybe he likes them that way. It's none of my business. But there's a woman, a picture of a woman in the envelope, probably his wife. We don't know. After Boone and Shannon, it might be his sister. I don't know. I'm confused now.
Nothing's off the table.
Yeah.
And Jack and Rose are still sitting there enjoying the sunset, sunrise, maybe midday. It's
I don't know which one's which. I can't tell the difference between sunrises and sunsets.
Mm-mm. And she finally speaks. Bernard's fingers swell and he immediately goes in the doctor mode. It's from the altitude. He'll be fine. Well, he's dead, but.
Rose is like, well, maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah. And so she says, you don't have to keep your promise. And he's like, what? And it's a really tender moment because she's like, well, you said you'd keep me company while my husband gets back from the bathroom and I release you from that. You have a nice way about you, Jack.
A good soul.
You're giving main character. And he's like, why does everybody keep saying that?
It's probably why you became a doctor. And he's like, not why. Kind of got suckered into it. Family business.
He starts talking like Bane. Out of nowhere, he's like, I was born into it.
I was born into the doctor business.
Rose, you're... No.
That's so bad.
What the fuck is a fuselage?
I wish Bane was on this island.
Well, maybe he shows up.
That's true. I haven't seen the show.
Maybe he's the dinosaur that's in the woods.
That would explain why Locke's alive.
Everybody get off my beach. I paid for this island. Stay away from my French girl. I've been trying to draw her for years.
I will woo her.
That's another Titanic
reference. Bane is the French woman.
Yes. And then we cut back to Locke on the prowl for the boar and another flashback. It's him on the phone talking about how he told Randy off, which he did not. And he's talking to Helen. And she says, after a while, I'm not allowed to meet customers. He's like, what? Customer? I just pay you. Doesn't mean I'm a customer. We're friends. Mm-hmm. They've been talking for 8 months. She tells him to find a therapist. And he says, I've got one. Damn it. And she's charging $89.95 an hour, plus tax, I assume, with that kind of figure.
That's a hefty amount.
It's a hefty fee.
That's a lot of quiche.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not going well. That's sad, right? He's lonely. Sad. He just wants to talk to somebody. And he's paying, I don't know if it's a sex worker, but I assume... Typically, that she's used to talking about other things than Australian walkabouts, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I can't be judgy. Maybe not.
But he says he bought two tickets to the walkabout and wants her to come with him.
And she gets kind of freaked out. She's like, I got to go. Right. I'm going to charge you another $90 if you don't hang up. And I don't have on good conscience. I know. He's like, I don't care about the money.
Yeah. It just keeps kind of solidifying the fact that pre-island John Locke is kind of the sad, lonely
person.
That is definitely not in control of their own destiny, which is something they crave.
Yes.
And did you notice that he's sitting on the bed on the phone. Did you see the machine on the side of his bed?
No.
The machine on the side of his bed is an electromedical nerve stimulation machine to stimulate the muscles in his legs.
Trying to get him to walk again.
So it's like, if you don't know what it is, you're probably like, whatever. But if you know what that is,
yeah, that was like a sex thing for him and Helen.
Helen, I got the big giant radio box on the side of the bed. I can turn it up to 11. It shakes the bed.
It's like you're here. Should I plug the nodes in?
Well, speaking of, people who are really nice that we talk to and have a parasocial relationship and might even want to buy a ticket for them to come to Australia on a walkabout with us.
Sure.
I want to shout out our patrons.
Yeah.
So big reminder, this week is technically July, but the first week of the month, we still read the previous month's people because Patreon is weird and you can't trust the reporting for the first week of a month. Okay. So I just want people to know if they're like, wait a minute. So let us thank Chester Copperbot, Stanton Valentino, Svento 7, Pills, baby, Jay Scramo, A.K. Ashley Ray, Alan Tomlinson, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Trey Barrera, Conrad, David Malfara, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Alexis Adler,
Fuselage,
Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Joe Velez, Valerie, Aaron Layton, John Collins, Amanda King, Son, Loving, Mortal, Andrew Gray, Jadinklage, Morgoon, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richin, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and Enza.
I was hopping on Enza.
Nice.
Thank you all.
And we cut to from the flashback to Kate limping back with Michael. She's trying to help him walk back to camp. And I giggled because Kate, like, she drops Michael and she starts taking her pants off, moves the belt. And he's like, what are you doing? And she's like, I got to boost the transceiver signal. And he's like, all right, boost it. But no,
where I'm from, we call that something very different.
We're boosting the transceiver signal. Here I come. She's like, no. She's just taking off the knife so she can climb the tree, which I don't think was necessary. She tightens the belt.
She doesn't fall off the tree onto a knife. That's safety, my man.
What if you got to cut something while you're up there?
And you come back down and get it.
I guess that's true.
Should have strapped that antenna to her. We found out.
I thought she was going to take her off her belt and like wrap it around the tree and like,
oh yeah, climb up that climb way. With
her belt. I was just as lost as Michael temporarily. Mm-hmm. And then when her answer was, I got to boost the transceiver signal. I was like, that's funny. But yeah, she starts climbing the tree. She's climbed worse things, she says. And we cut to Locke. He's out still hunting. Back to Kate climbing. Something of a gargantuan-like quality starts coming towards them, I would say. And she... in fear and surprise, drops the antenna.
Oh no, Saeed worked so hard on that.
And I like to imagine it hit Michael's stabbed leg. It's like, he's like, ah!
Or because it's a shovel, right? Like a shovel head.
Yeah.
It like falls and like it amputates his leg. It's
right in the hole. Ah!
What are the odds?
And then, but Kate's not even worried about him. She's looking out into the forest. She sees the gargantuan like quality thing and says, Locke. Because it's going straight for him. Mm-hmm. It's coming right for us. And then we cut to Locke. He's chasing the boar. But then the boar seems to get eaten by something of a gargantuan-like quality. And but then Locke sees the monster. Like it seems like POV of monster approaches Locke from very high up. And he's looking right at it. What if it's just like an ent?
Hello, Master John Locke. I've been watching you for a long time.
Yes.
Long time.
I hope so.
Meanwhile, back at camp. mine's kind of like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
A little
like,
bit.
If Stone Cold Steve Austin was very dehydrated.
Meanwhile, I'm opening up a can of whoop ass.
I'm going to drop you on that stack of dimes you call a nip.
And Sawyer is being nice to Claire. It gives her like a wallet or something. Did anyone else know what that was?
I think it was a collection of personal items from people on the plane.
I think he had like a journal or something that he had kind of ransacked. Hers? Not of hers, but of someone who died in the plane.
Hey, this giving is pretty good reading.
Well, remember when he, when Jack was kind of looking through the fuselage to find medicine and Sawyer was there, quote unquote, looting. Maybe that's what he was giving to her.
Yeah, I think he found someone who had died's journal or papers or something and was giving it to Claire because he knows Claire is putting together this memorial.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But a nice thing for Sawyer to do, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got layers. He's like a parfait.
Yeah. Everybody loves parfaits. And we cut to, or we pull out, and it's Walt and Vincent and Son hanging out. And she shows him her leaf toothpaste. Which is very a real clever thing. There's like roots and stuff that like
Yeah.
Ancient cultures would use to brush their teeth. I found out that's
very resourceful.
And then Michael returns with Kate and he's like, oh, I'm okay, kid. You know, and I realized in this moment, because Sawyer did something, you guys are not going to like this because I know everybody that's seen the show is a huge Sawyer fan. But just the way, like, he's got the greasy hair, he's got the facial hair and his general like
vibe,
mannerisms. Sawyer is Kid Rock from Joe Dirt.
What?
I get it. I get it. Yeah.
What's up, Joe Dirte? You know?
Yeah, that's 100%. Yeah, that's so accurate.
Now I can't unsee it.
Wait.
Have you ever seen Joe Dirt?
I have.
It's a space peanut.
But no, yeah, Kid Rock has a small role in Joe Dirt, and he's basically Sawyer.
Oh, you're not saying, okay, you aren't saying that actor is the person that plays
Kid. No, I don't think that's Kid Rock.
Well, no, I thought you were saying that Josh Holloway played Kid Rock in Joe Dirt. But no, Kid Rock played Kid Rock in Joe Dirt. Correct.
Could you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
He could have, though. Yeah, he's the character. He reminds me of Kid Rock from Joe Dirt.
I'm also picking up that Sawyer has a thing for Kate.
Oh, yeah, 100% yes. Does.
Okay.
Yeah, he's trying to flirt with her the moment she gets back into
camp. That's his way of flirting.
Yeah, because what does he say?
What's up, Freckles?
What's up, Freckles? What's up, girl?
You down to clown? You DTF?
Hey, did you boost that signal yet? What's up?
Yeah, heard you were boosting signals. I got something you can boost.
Yeah, but she's not super into it.
These.
She's not into his.
That's Sawyer, not me.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Yeah. Yeah, she's not into it. Does she tell Jack that Locke's gone or somebody asked where's Locke?
He said, where's Mr. Locke? Or no, it's Walt.
Oh, Walt does, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's just like a, I don't know.
Your buddy, probably dead.
We didn't possibly see a T-Rex get him.
But life might find a way, and they just walk off. And then Boone.
I love every time you transition to these two because it always goes, and then Boone.
Boone. Boone. That's, I mean, that's very, yeah. It's a county where I'm from.
I know. Boone County. That's how you say it around here is Boone County.
Boone County. The bald guy never came back is what he tells Shannon. And she's like, they never got food. He's like, you're fucking terrible, right? But then Charlie comes up. He caught a fish, slaps it right in her chest. Like, here you go.
But she just goes.
There's a lot of work to be done to be able to eat that fish. And then Boone's like, oh, buddy, she is using you. And she's like arguing with Boone. She's ignoring Charlie completely now. She
ignores him, yeah.
And
yeah.
Charlie looks like a real sad boy.
Yeah.
He's like, dang it.
He's been taken advantage of.
I'm a bass guitarist for Driveshaft.
Hopefully he found a friend in Hurley to make that adventure worth it.
And yeah. She took his fish after he worked on it all day.
That was a big fish too. That was a good haul.
Real big fish.
Yeah, really. Like there was saxophone. That's a new band
name I could use. You caught up pretty quick there, Steve. You're a fast one. You're a sharp boy.
I like real big fish.
I bet you do. You little ska loving mother.
Did you ever see the Taylor Swift? Is it? It's Taylor Swift anti-hero mixed with Real Big Fish. It fucking slaps, man.
No.
I have to pull that up for you. Please after record. It's amazing.
But did you see Fallout Boy redid the R.E.M.'s
We Didn't Start the Fire?
And yeah.
Yeah.
That was good.
Or is it We Didn't Start the Fire? I thought it was End of the World as We Know It. Anyway, it's really neat. The Fallout Boy version.
The We Didn't Start the Fire. It was always, and then it goes to because the big thing was they rewrote the lyrics of the headlines that they spout out.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
It was good.
I think Stranger Things is in that.
Probably when the pop culture stuff.
Stranger Things.
It is, yeah.
That's my favorite part. And then Jack's telling Rose, hey, Rose, we're going to set Bernard on fire. And she's like, oh, okay.
He was in the town.
I'd like to see that. And but then at some point, she's like, doctor, my husband is not dead. And he's like,
but he was in the tail part of the plane.
I'm pretty sure he's super dead. And she said, well, they're probably thinking the same thing about us, meaning that the tail people are somewhere thinking about the fuselage people. That's what her opinion is. Mm. And then Jack sees a very dapper man in a suit dressed for memorial. Hanging out in the trees.
I didn't even make the connection. He's wearing a suit for a memorial. I just thought, oh, there's a dude in a suit.
It's 100% just supposed to be a hallucination in a suit. But I like to think it was one of the people like, I found a suit. Jack, to the memorial.
For the memorial. I went through the luggage. Do I look good?
Yeah. It's actually not even wrinkled. But
whoever packed this knew what they were doing.
But I have to wear these K-Swiss. I can't find any Kohans. And then it cuts to Kate, who broke Saeed's antenna, trying to tell Saeed. And she's kind of
in there.
He worked on thinking. I think she was rude. She did not deliver this well because he worked on that for something no other man on the planet could do. He did it. He worked on it all day instead of gathering wood. And she's like, should have gotten the warranty. Build another one, bitch.
Hey, does she like throw it at him?
Funny
like,
electronic.
Yeah. Plops it in his.
Yeah. Oops.
Your thing don't work.
Yeah. I broke your thingy. Build another one.
What kind of craftsmanship is this? It did not survive a 30-foot fall from a tree. Loser.
And then he's like, I quit. And she's like, no, build another one, please.
Yeah, he gets upset and smashes it. I feel bad for Saeed.
Yeah, I need a soldering iron, 3 rubber bands, a paper clip, more pins. Jack's got all the fucking pins. She's like, whoa, calm down, man. And then Jack comes up to Kate and she's like, bad news about Locke. I think he's dead. The monster got him. But then Jack sees the Dapper Man again, chases him. Ah, Dapper Man, where'd you get that suit? And finds Locke dragging a dead boar, looking satisfied. He's like, what?
He got a boar. He survived his encounter with the monster in the woods and got a boar.
Then we got a bunch of new mysteries to add this week. And then the final scene is of the memorial itself. Claire's leading it. It's so endearing because she's trying so hard to come up with something to say about these people she's never met, right?
She wore bifocals.
She was catching a connecting flight, and she was an organ donor.
Or would have been.
Yeah. And Charlie's off getting high during the memorial.
I like how when Charlie gets high, he has to put on his crime hoodie, as you do.
House of the Dragon reference.
Assassin's Creed hoodie.
Yeah. But if you're going to do something sus, you got to get a crime hoodie.
Kate's looking for Jack at the memorial. Where's Jack? I only came because I heard he was leading this thing. But he's off alone in the spot with he and Rose, watching the ocean still. Mm-hmm. Michael acknowledges Locke. He's like, hey, you're cool, man.
Nice work getting that boy.
Yeah.
I think you're cool. You're something else.
Did you see the monster out there? Kate said it was coming towards you. Did you see that monster? And he's like, huh?
Nope.
What are you talking about?
What?
Monster?
Which is weird. It's like the monster was like, shh, don't tell anybody. You want this boar? I'll give you the boar. I got some coconuts too.
I like the idea of the monster actually just whispers to people, hey, I got a secret between me and your beautiful lips. So keep them closed.
It's like a southern wife. Hey, I got this over here. You want some?
Do you like backgammon? Do I?
Shh, let's go play.
He floats away. And we get another flashback, and it's Guy. Not Guy. It's a guy. I know a guy named Guy. Trying to talk Locke out of the walkabout. Not talking about saying you can't come.
It's a dude who runs the walkabout service that he has kind of bought his ticket for. And he's like, dude, you can't come on this walkabout.
Is it called Rollabout, sir?
Jesus.
I'm sorry.
But he's like, you can't come with us.
You lied.
You have a condition. And he's like, well, I didn't lie. And he's like, by omission, the insurance company that supports us, like,
they
won't allow this.
You can't. You don't tell me what I can't do. But he's like, then he drives away.
And then it cuts to the wide shot. And that's when it's revealed this whole time John Locke's been in a wheelchair. A reveal.
That was so good.
All caps. That was his wheelchair. That's what I wrote down. And that's why the camera was on his foot. Like, you can see me in real time putting this together.
Yeah.
And then it kind of flashes back again to the initial crash with Jack running around. And that's why Locke is like, he's putting on a shoe, like, holy shit. And he just, and Jack's like, hey, you come here. And he starts running. It's like Forrest Gump in that scene where the braces come off in pieces.
It's his destiny.
I was a running.
Michael Giacchino's score in the scene is like cranking up to 11, doing everything.
And then the final shot is of the wheelchair in the fuselage fire.
Yep.
And Locke smiling. Which, why are they burning that wheelchair? One guy's not going to be able to get any sticks without it.
So they're not burning the wheelchair.
It's just like in front of it.
Yeah, it's in front of the fire. Okay. Yeah.
I was going to say, that's funny, something useful.
In the DVD commentary, the director's like, a lot of people think we're burning it. It's actually like a good 10 feet in front of the fire.
I mean,
it could have fooled anybody.
It's meant to look like it's burning so he doesn't need the wheelchair anymore. Yeah,
because that's his old life.
Symbolism.
Dead.
Yeah.
He's burning his old life.
But man, that was a good moment. That was a really cool reveal. And so at this point, we'll get to that in Lost and Found. It's now time for Beach Please.
Beach Please. This is the segment where I tell you guys a little bit of trivia about the episode that we just covered. And like I mentioned at the top, I found Lost DVD commentaries online. So I listened to the entire thing for this episode. The commentary featured the director of this episode, Jack Bender, and writer Jeffrey Lieber, who wrote the episode with Damon Lindelof. And Terry O'Quinn, who plays Locke, was also on the commentary. A couple things that I thought was neat that you guys might enjoy. The scenes with Locke in the crash site actually was reshot. It's not the same stuff from the original pilot because they filmed the pilot way in advance and it was a different day. So they had to reshoot it and kind of make it look like the original shot. when Vinny the dog, when she's going crazy in the beginning of the episode, the only way they could get her to bark like that was the trainer just took a lampshade and just shook it at her off screen.
She fucking hates lampshades. Wow.
I mean, same.
Honestly, if someone shook a lampshade at me, I also would want to tear them apart.
Mm-hmm.
They were supposed to have actual live trained boars in the opening scene, but they couldn't use them because right before they shot, they fed the pigs and they got too comfy and just didn't want to move.
Not doing it.
They're like, nope. Fair. Talk to my agent. Not going there.
So what did they
use? I'll be in my trailer.
Nothing. It's just the actors pretending to see stuff, and it's like CGI'd in.
Okay.
Silhouettes of.
That would make me so mad as a filmmaker if I had boar and had to like CGI boar later.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jack Bender also said he was kind of glad it worked out the way it did because he thinks the boar that they had looked too cute. And so he was worried it would look like the actors were being chased by Miss Piggy.
Yeah. I'm going to. That was Kermit.
David. Oh, Miss Piggy, please don't chase Charlie. He's from Drive Shaft. He's going to be the next guest on the Muppet Show. Yeah! Damon Lindelof really wanted to title this episode Lord of the Files.
Wish he had. That's a Michael Giacchino type name for sure.
Yes, it is. Jack Bender, he was kind of talking about how he approached filming stuff on the island versus the flashbacks. And I guess he did. He also directed Tabula Rasa as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he specifically called out in this commentary that he tried to keep the colors blue and green out of the flashbacks as much as possible to kind of separate the two locations. Because obviously there's a lot of blues and green on a beach. He also said they filmed the flashbacks with wide lenses, but just filmed them closer up so that the backgrounds are a lot more flat and not as depth of fieldy. And also he made a point to try to surround the actors with things that they can't get on the island. So in the break room, they're surrounded by an unusual amount of vending machines.
Okay.
And John Locke in his bed, and you just see all the technology and stuff that they can't get on the beach surrounding him. I thought that was kind of a cool way to differentiate the two different worlds.
Yeah.
Oh, he also said that he made it a point to film the flashbacks with locked off cameras. So there's a lot of like handheld cam on the beach and stuff. But when they're doing flashbacks, it's very like tripod, stable. Stilted, not a lot of movement happening.
So they couldn't shoot if they were members of the Dogma 95 film school, they couldn't shoot the flashbacks.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Handheld only. It's a weird thing. It's a long story.
Originally, there were several scenes cut out of this episode to make for time because it's TV and they only have like 42 minutes. So there were several scenes cut out for time that I thought were interesting. Originally, there was a scene with Kate and John Locke where she specifically is talking about how he has the same name as the famous philosopher John Locke. And I was kind of doing a little bit of a deep dive into that philosopher because I'm not super familiar with him. But apparently, did you know this? John Locke the philosopher in 1689 wrote his seminal work, An Essay Concerning Human Understanding, where he said that he believed that the human mind was a tabula rasa, a blank slate.
Oh.
Meaning, because at the time a lot of people were like, oh, humans are born sinners, we're born evil.
Right.
But he was arguing that people are, it's the influences of when you grow up that dictate who you become. Also, we make our own destiny was a big part of his thing, which is a big part of John Locke's character as he's trying to make his own destiny. And I was like, God damn, I love that shit.
That's good.
That's so good.
That is really good.
They did not know John Locke's secret when they wrote the pilot. So there's the part one and two episode for the pilot where John Locke tells Walt, hey, do you want to hear a secret? They didn't know what it was when they wrote that. The idea of John Locke being wheelchair bound before the hand happened right before they shot this episode. Terry O'Quinn did not know that was a part of his character until he got the script for episode 4.
Wow.
And so they had to do insert shots of wheelchairs just being in the background to insert into the pilot. because it was something that didn't exist when they wrote it.
So this is the secret that he told Walt, confirmed? Because I wouldn't have gathered that from this episode.
I believe so, yeah.
So okay. He's like, hey, I used to be in a wheelchair.
Well, I think the underlying secret is like, this place is magical because now I can walk.
I remember he said it's a miracle. And that was something that Walt said that he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was there another story that they were going to explore?
I don't know. They didn't say what they were going to explore other than
I think that. They just had no idea. They were like, we'll figure it out later.
Gotcha.
Apparently Damon Lindelof was the one that was like, I think John Locke was paralyzed before he got to the island. Like it was a good idea. Yeah.
I'm in.
The scene where Charlie and Hurley are fishing, it was supposed to be extended. They deleted the scene where Jin actually shows up and shows them how to catch the fish.
I was expecting that.
Because Jin actually knows what he's fucking doing with fishing.
Okay.
They should have kept that in.
Another scene that they cut was actually the scene of John Locke telling Randy off. There actually was a scene where he explodes on Randy and like tells him to shut the fuck up. But they cut that scene, and the director was actually like, it works better because when he tells Helen later on that he told him off,
like he's sad.
Seems way more sad and pathetic, which is what they were going for anyway. And let's see. Terry O'Quinn, every single flashback is actually in the wheelchair in every single flashback. They're just hiding it with camera angles, and also they lowered the arms 2 inches so the arms aren't as high.
Yeah.
And then the last bit of trivia I have for you is the scene where Locke comes face to face with the monster. No one knows what the monster is supposed to look like while they're filming. Even the director doesn't quite know what it's supposed to be physically, what it looks like. And so Terry O'Quinn was like, how do I react to this thing? I need to go off something. Mm-hmm. I know you guys don't know exactly what it is yet. I need to go off something, though. And Jack Bender told him, the monster, A, is very tall. There's a certain gargantuan quality to it.
Yes.
But B, it is the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. Those are the two directing notes he was given to react to. Huh. So
it's just
it's huge and beautiful.
It's beautiful. 20-foot Kristen Stewart. Interesting.
God damn it. Did someone spoil it for Chris? And that has been this week's version of Beach Please.
Excellent episode of Beach Please. Yeah. Steve, real question for you. Would it be easier for you?
Fake answer.
If I returned your Blu-ray box sets of Lost, would that be easy for you?
No. Actually, the commentary is in audio, so I can just like listen to it while I'm doing
that's great.
Chores and stuff. So it's actually...
There, it's, like...
yeah. So it actually works out.
Okay, good.
If it comes to a point where I do need them, I will ask for them back.
Who knows what bonus features are on there, you know?
I know there are blooper reels that are pretty good.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Love a good blooper reel.
You love blooper reels.
God, I love blooper reels.
We love a good blooper.
Now it's time for our Mile High Club moments, our top three favorite moments of the episode. Madison, start us off with your number three.
My number three was a compilation of scenes between Jack and Rose. Just their chats on the beach. I really liked how...
Hanging off the front of the ship.
right. On the board in the ocean, you know, when Rose had to let go of Jack. It was just very heartfelt, and I liked seeing Jack kind of have this moment with Rose. And they were just really heartfelt, and I liked those.
Steve, you're number three.
My number three moment is Charlie and Hurley fishing. It's just a couple of dudes being bros, and you can really kind of see the beginning of a great friendship. And those are the two most lighthearted characters on the show. So, of course, you put them together and fun stuff will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, Hurley freaking out and then just going, all right, man, you try. It was just, I love that so much. It's hilarious. That's my number three.
My number three was Michael trying to ask Son to watch Walt. I think those characters are fascinating. Like, they're dynamic. And I think I haven't gotten like major spoilers. People have tried online in my comments, but like one of the things that's kind of a spoiler to me, because I'm super spoiler averse, is the fact that people like Sawyer and Jen, which means they must have pretty good arcs. So I think it's interesting knowing that and what I think I know about Jen now and the fact that there's some kind of a tension between Michael and Son. It's interesting to me, but no matter what, that scene, even in isolation, is really fun and awkward. And it's got like that cringe humor quality to it. Mm-hmm. And is all kind of led off with, yeah, whatever, to from Walt when she speaks to him in Korean. I don't know why I got such a big kick out of it. My favorite moments for most part are just like tiny moments from this episode. But Madison, you're number two.
My number two was when John Locke threw the knife next to Sawyer's head. It was just like a good, like intense moment that nobody was expecting. And I liked the playful commentary. I think it was Jack that said, wow, you're either really good at aiming or really bad. And I liked that. I thought it
what
was
what if he just good. Impaled Sawyer and was like, oh.
Oh, shit.
Credits.
Yeah. Steve, you're number two.
My number two moment is Locke being in the break room, just playing his little game. And you can just kind of see he's this sad dude that really wants to be a better version of himself. Like he feels locked in to where he at.
Maybe he's
at.
Lost.
Maybe he's lost. Yeah. You think planes. And I don't know. It's just a great way to flip this character on its head. Like you think you know him, but really you don't. And here's the real version of him. And I think that makes the character way more fascinating is knowing that he's just this dude that is living his best life essentially on the island while everyone's living their worst life. It's a good dichotomy shift, and it really makes him sort of separate from everyone else.
Yeah. It does add some, an interesting dynamic to his character. My number two is also the Locke moment with the knife, but right before that, the boar speech. It's a 250-pound rat with tusks like scimitars and a surly disposition. Like, I just, fuck yeah, dude.
I'm going to put that on my Hinge profile.
For sure. I love it. Can you please?
Please sure. Do that, Madison. That'd be so funny.
Beach, please do
Beach,
that.
Beach, please. I will.
Madison, I think we all probably have the same number one. What's your favorite moment of the episode?
My favorite moment is the reveal that Locke was in a wheelchair. He used to be.
Mine as well.
He used to be paralyzed.
We all, everybody. We haven't had one of those since episode one.
Yeah.
I think so. But yeah, it was just, again, did not see it coming. I thought they did a really good job at disguising that reveal throughout, but also being very intentional about how they were building into that reveal. It was good.
Yeah, because we only saw him sitting and didn't think anything of it each time.
Yeah.
But
proper
also
shock.
Claire doing her best to lead the memorial and say nice thing. Like that was really silly at first, if I'm being honest, but like it was endearing very quickly. I was like, yeah, go. Because at first it was like, she was on a connecting flight because like all she has to go on is her like passport and tickets and stuff. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Right. Mm-hmm. But then I was like, this is actually beautiful.
You're being a real Jack right now.
Making an effort, you know. Steve, is there anything else you want to say about the reveal?
No, I think I've gushed about the reveal enough. It's just really well done. And I get a little weepy eyed when he's in the walkabout office and
he starts
wheeling out and he starts screaming desperately, like, don't tell me what I can't do. Like, oh my God, it breaks me every time I start to cry.
So do we end up finding out if an event happened to him that made him unable to walk, or is there, okay, we do. Okay.
Yeah. We'll find it out. More will be revealed. Mm-hmm. And that was, I made a stupid joke, but I mean, it's a powerful moment because even if we're not differently abled, I think each of us have barriers in life, and there's people in this world constantly telling you what you can and cannot
do.
Barriers? Yeah. In our fuselage?
Yes.
So I think there's something really relatable, especially in the office and fucking Randy, about Locke's life that we can think we can all relate to. We've all had a Randy. Randall Barry.
Every show Madison's on, there's a guy named Randy that just sucks.
Yeah. Fucking Randy.
Randy's.
He doesn't suck. Yellow Jackets Randy's fine. He's just kind of like pointless.
Yeah.
Maybe not pointless.
The only Randall Barry. His only flaw is he cannot ejaculate on command. And I don't blame the guy.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure.
He caused a lot of trouble with that, though.
He did. He caused a lot of trouble.
If you haven't seen Yellow Jackets, you're like, now I need to?
Please tune into that.
Now it's time for our Passenger Princess, our favorite performance of the episode. Are there any among us that did not choose Terry O'Quinn?
Nar.
Nar.
We all, everybody?
We all, everybody? Yeah, fantastic performance from Mr. Terry O'Quinn for John Locke. Mm-hmm. Did a great job of, especially knowing that they didn't have this reveal planned, mm-hmm. but they were like in the earlier episodes, stay aloof, my guy. We got stuff for you, but we don't know what.
Yeah.
I'm so happy we're covering Yellow Jackets, especially like 2 months ago or so. We watched Tombstone and you got a little tiny little snippet of Terry O'Quinn and Tombstone. He's the mayor.
Oh,
yeah. You told me about. And there's so many Lost references over the past few years that I've been like, don't care.
Yeah.
Now I'm like,
ah. now you're finding them. It's like a spider's web that you're now clinging to, a spider verse. Maybe that you would say. What's up, Danger? But Terry Quinn's so awesome. I mean, this is a role that I think there are certain roles out there that are just kind of made for an actor or actress. And this is the role that I think was made for Terry Quinn. He would go on to actually win an Emmy for best acting in a drama for this role.
Oh, wow.
I think it's not this season. It's a later season. But it just speaks to just how good he is in this role. He's great.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Now it's time for Lost and Found to wrap everything up. What mysteries have been solved and which ones were added or which ones are ongoing?
What do you guys want to do first? You want to like introduce new ones and then kind of circle back, or do you want to circle back to the old mysteries and see any of them have been answered?
Let's go through all the old ones and then add, right?
Yeah.
Okay. First one, I think we can, at least some of it's been answered, is Orange Mouth Man. What's his deal? What's his secret? What's the miracle?
John Locke, the miracles that he can walk now. Mm-hmm. That was the secret, I guess. Yeah. So
can we scratch that one off the list?
We can close that out. So. I mean, there's more John Locke stuff.
Sure.
Added. But yes, that one. Mm-hmm. Scratchy. Yeah.
Scratch it off. What is the monster? Still don't know. It's beautiful, though.
Tall and beautiful.
I hope I'm right.
I'm going to add, it's beautiful. We got what happened to the plane? Still unanswered, I think. Why is there a polar bear on the island? Still unanswered.
Still don't know.
Where are they? What are Kate's crimes? Oh, we know what Kate's crimes are, right? No, we don't.
We don't.
You almost made a boo-boo.
I almost made a boo-boo. Why are French people?
We don't know. Still a mystery.
What is in Sawyer's letter? Was something that Madison cued on last episode?
Still don't know.
I mean, never mind. Keep going.
It's the lyrics to a Drive Shaft song, I'm guessing.
Man, that's some good songwriting.
But he's over there writing one himself. With the ball to bang the bang, did he?
He's really sorry to this. His arc is that he's working up the courage to approach Charlie with his own song. Like, hey, man, I wrote a song for Drive Shaft. What do you think?
Just keep it open mind. Keep it open mind.
I'm going to stand over there while you read it. I just don't want to watch you read it.
I'm a cowboy, baby.
And Charlie's like, fuselage. What?
But what are some new mysteries from you guys? I have four, but I think you guys can also pick up on
They're kind of complicated to phrase quickly, but like why? How did John survive the monster encounter, and why is he being coy about it? Like, I mean, there's a big mystery there.
Why did the monster spare Locke?
Yeah.
Okay. But also, sidebar, why did Locke not? Dude, I fucking saw it. He fucking let me go. It's a giant. I don't know if you guys have seen Twilight. It's like this huge bitch version of that.
Why is Locke
beautiful?
Why is Locke being secretive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
There's more. There is more.
Mine is, who is the man that Jack saw in the suit?
Oh, yes. Dapper Man.
Who is the man in the suit? Got it. That's a good one. I think that's a good one to have.
Dapper Man. What else?
I wrote, who is the woman Saeed has photos of?
Yeah, that was my other one.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Might be a sister.
Could be.
Or a cousin.
Why does Helen charge so much?
What's going to make Helen's that bag, deal? Baby?
Dang. That's like a Bitcoin back in 2004.
$89.95 an hour?
We're in the wrong business.
In 2004.
Man.
Keep in mind, that's $200 an hour now.
Maybe it's not like an hour cap. Like maybe it's.
She capped it hard at that point. You invite me to Australia, time's over.
Oh, that's about it.
Come on, man.
Well, I mean, if she's a phone sex worker on the phone, I mean, an hour is a long time, so maybe, you know, she has to charge. She's got to charge a big amount.
I get it, honestly. Yeah. I get it. You can't get an hour long massage.
$5 needs to be worth it, or excuse me, 5 minutes needs to be worth it. You know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, why are Helen's rates that high?
I'm just kidding. No. I think we're out of mysteries, right?
Do you have any more?
I only had the man in the suit and the woman inside.
Man in the suit, Locke.
Woman in the photos.
Yeah.
That Saeed likes.
Yeah.
Seemingly. I think those are good mysteries for Lost and Found to be added.
You got another one?
Or I guess why Jack is weird around memorials? Or like why... Or something to do with like the family business?
That's fair. I do think there's character stuff about Jack that was kind of hinted at and not spoken about fully in this episode.
What's Jack's deal?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Professionally.
Deep.
Professional and personal. There we go. I think these are good additions to Lost and Found. Tune in next week to see if any of them are answered or added.
We're going to find out he's like fucking chiropractor. Just a total poser. The abdomen's rigid. Pull the leg.
If we're at my office, I would get some crystals and rub on. Damn it, we don't have those.
He's Joey from Friends, and he's actually an actor that plays a doctor.
Yeah. I can believe that, actually.
That's good.
But yeah, tune in next week to find out if these mysteries are solved. And after you've probably already heard both Rogue Nation and Ghost Protocol, and then after Dead Reckoning, we're going to drop two of these at least a week, so you can move a lot faster. We're so glad that you've joined us. The numbers are actually pretty good for Lost. Yeah. So maybe you'll get a season two. Keep it up, guys. Keep downloading and listening and whatnot. Devil horns, Vinny says. But yeah, tune in next week. That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Kit Laser.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming. I do identify as Laser.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.